I've been thinking all week, and I even mentioned it to Art on the telephone. We don't often talk about things. Well, we don't get into any heavy things on the telephone because you never get to finish them anyhow. So we do that email and we talk occasionally, quite occasionally. You know, in years past, and even today, it was common to have what they called testimony meetings. And let me tell you, if you were in on Wednesday night when testimony meetings were held, you better have a testimony or you're backslid. That's just the way it was. And as I look back over those testimony meetings, I find that they were occupied, and not in every instance now, not in every case, but for the most part, they were occupied with me.
Yeah.
I did this, and I did that, and I prayed, and God did this, and I asked the Lord, and he did that. It was just the case you had some little thing here that you just ordered around.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you did it just right, and lo and behold, you had the blessing of God on you. Now, I don't want to upset anybody, but that's just the way I felt about it. I heard one woman testify one time in what now has amounted to 61 years in which it was real.
Yeah.
And that was Willie Farley, down at Shady Spring. And what did she do? She stood up in church and said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." That was genuine.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to talk to you about thoughts from the gospel according to John. But in having said that, you know, so many times when we consider the gospel, we begin to talk about us. There are many people that will talk about the work of Christ, and that's vital to know about the work of Christ, to know what he did.
Sure.
They'll talk about the doctrines of Christ. Fine. They talk about the coming of Christ. They talk about the life of Christ. They talk about the death of Christ, but you know what they ignore? Christ himself. How much time is spent on that subject?
Exactly.
I'm going to go to John 1, and I know you've heard it probably 100 times, maybe more. And I want to read from the first verse through the 13th. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life, the life, was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. That was his task, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, or the right, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, in the very beginning of the gospel according to John, I won't finish this morning. In the very beginning of the gospel of John, the Holy Spirit begins with the words, "In the beginning."
Yes, sir.
Now, Bobby, that's what we were talking about out in the kitchen just before I came in here, relative to this. In the beginning. And so the Spirit of God begins to set forth through this apostle the glories of Christ. There are a lot of people that are occupied, a lot of preachers are occupied with the glories of heaven, with the glories of the kingdom which is yet to come. Let me tell you, they're all dimmed by the glories of Christ, the author of all of it. He sets forth the personal glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I doubt that there's another chapter in the Bible that has as many different views, many different aspects of his glory as this chapter does. Yet all those views are personal. They concern him. And they're concerned with his glory. They're safeguarded by his glory. And John says it plainly. He doesn't mince any words. He says it plainly that the Lord Jesus Christ is God.
Yeah.
In human flesh, mind you.
That's it.
Now, his nature, the nature of Christ, is not just God-like.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you're right.
Mark it. It's not just God-like. He is God.
Amen.
Right. Yeah.
You don't hear that said.
Nope. You're right.
He's no less God than the Father is.
Right. That's right.
He's no less God than the Holy Spirit is.
Yes.
But he is the Word.
Yes, sir.
And that's unique to him. He's the Word in a way in which the Father and the Holy Spirit are not.
Right.
That's true.
Why is that? Because he took upon himself the form of human flesh. He is the Word. He is the image of God.
Yes.
And he alone is the Word. He alone. Paul speaks of him when he writes these words. Now, he's speaking of Christ, who is the brightness of his glory. He's the brightness of the glory of God and the express image of his person.
Yes.
The exact replica of his person. And upholding all things by his power, by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. See the past tenses here. Walter pointed them out this morning. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He did it.
Yeah.
And he is glorified in it. That's why works will not stand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They will not stand. Now, you have to note also Colossians, the first chapter and verses 12 through 15. You have to note that. If you're talking about the position and the glory of Christ, listen to what Paul writes. Giving thanks to God and the Father, which hath made us meet In other words, he's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Listen, who is the image of the invisible God.
Yes, sir.
The firstborn.
Yes.
Of every creature.
Yes, sir.
Every creature that was ever created was after him.
Yeah, that's right.
He's the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven. You go to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You've got Christ.
Yes, sir.
That's what it says.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's what it says. These fools on television that go around talking about the ministry and the life of Jesus have no idea whether or not the sun comes up in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're totally, absolutely, and blasphemously ignorant.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Now, Matt, if you want to write somebody emails after you get your computer, you go ahead and write those jokers and tell them just what I said and quote me. My name goes with it. But for by him were all things created. You know what? Oh, the Native Americans knew God. Hmm? Oh, yes. Several tribes believed that the earth was supported by a big turtle. Yeah. Wonderful. People get all dewy-eyed about these things, you know, and just get plain silly.
Right.
Now, I don't want to be an old curmudgeon, but that's just the truth.
Yeah, that's right.
For by him were all things created. Now listen, that are in heaven.
Yes.
There's nothing in heaven that wasn't created by him.
Right.
He's the firstborn of every creature. Why is that? Because he created them all.
Exactly.
Is there an angel in heaven? He created the angel.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
Is there a redeemed soul in heaven? He created that soul.
Yes, sir.
Not only did he create it, he redeemed it.
Yeah.
In his creation, he redeemed the soul of the elect that are in heaven and are in earth. He created everything in earth. I sat one time on the Southern West Virginia Soil Conservation Council. They said I broke up two coal mines, but I don't think I did that. But I was a crank. One time I took to the meeting of the group, I took a tablespoonful of dirt out of the garden, put it in a plastic sack and took it up there, threw it on the table. I said, there are countless billions of life forms in that soil that I brought in here in that envelope. They are God's creation, and you're exerting every effort that you can in the name of conservation to destroy the creation of God. I just said it. Of course, I lost my position on the board, which wasn't a paying job anyhow, so it didn't matter. But everything that's in heaven, everything that's in earth, yes, even the little microbial life,
sure.
Yes, sir.
That cannot be seen without the aid of a powerful microscope,
yeah.
He created.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
For what purpose? I have no idea.
Yeah.
He knows.
Yeah.
He knows. But now listen to this. Visible and invisible. Want to talk to me about angels? You believe in angels, Earl? Sure I do.
Sure.
I believe that every child of God has a guardian angel.
Sure. Yes, sir.
I believe that.
Sure.
They're surrounded, possibly, at times, by angels in their defense. I talked to a preacher once that was down in Kentucky, and I won't get to finish, but J.D. Butler. Some of you have met him or been around where he was. He followed A.W. Pink in the church that A.W. Pink pastored. Only J.D. Butler wasn't a legalist. And everybody was enamored of A.W. Pink. I mean, he could say nothing wrong, could do nothing wrong. In fact, I was told by a man that I respect a great deal as being truthful that if his wife had a meeting in her home, that is Pink's wife, of other women, and Pink would walk into the room, and if he wanted to say something, he'd stomp his foot. And that means shut up. I got something to say. And then he'd say it and stalk out. Ha ha ha, too. You see, some of these people are not only ignorant, they're arrogant.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Sure.
But the truth of the gospel is not found in the wisdom of men.
Exactly.
Nor is it found in study. We learn by study.
Sure.
But the truth of the gospel is not found by study.
Right.
That's another subject. But we believe and preach without any shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is God incarnate in the flesh.
Yeah.
Not was,
no.
But is.
Yes,
he is now seated at the right hand of God in a body like a man's, as representative of his people that God had given to him. He's seated there in visible human form.
Right. Yes, sir.
Right.
How do you know that? Because it says so.
Amen. Yeah.
I don't have a problem with what this says. Now come along trying, who was it told me that they had a satellite? Somebody shot a satellite up to circle the earth and pass over Mount Ararat and take pictures. And lo and behold, here's the form of a boat. That this, do you know what that is? That's a lie.
Yeah. Pretty much.
And if they ever found Noah's Ark, which they won't, and they dug it up, there'd be stupid people march clear up that mountain to light candles and worship at the Ark.
Oh, yeah.
They would, yeah.
Yes, sir.
No, that's just the truth. We believe that he's seated there at the right hand of God. He was God when Mary birthed him.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
He was God when he was growing up in Nazareth and growing and developing. He was God when he confounded the rabbis in the temple.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
He was God as he lived and walked among Jewry. He was God as he bowed his head and his back to the lash of Pilate. He was God as the mocking Roman soldiers placed a crown of thorns on his head. He was God as he was crucified.
Yes, sir.
Well, didn't he cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? How can that be? I don't know. And I don't even attempt to know.
Yeah.
Because there are many things in this that I don't even pretend to attempt to explain.
You're right.
He was God as he was sealed in the tomb. And he was God as he came forth from the tomb. He was God as he ascended to the Father.
Yes, sir.
And he is God now as he is seated at the right hand of God.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not able, and like I say, I wouldn't even attempt to begin to explain. And there's no use for you to anybody ask me, well, Earl, how can this be? These are matters of faith, and faith is given. It's a gift of God. You believe. One day, the hidden things will be made known. One day. We see his glory in the words, all things were made by him. That's true. His glory is right there. All things. There's nothing that shows our Lord Jesus Christ to be God and having an existence than when by his own will and power he gave existence and life to that which had no existence. Now that's a convoluted sentence, but it's true nevertheless. When there was nothing, he said, be something, and it was. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit teaches us that all things exist by the Word. And this is even emphasized by the Holy Spirit in this passage. For he causes John to record, and without him was not anything made that was made.
Yeah.
Amen. My, oh my. Then I have to say that there was that which belonged to our Lord Jesus Christ that was not made. He had something that was not made. In him was life. He was a personification of life, all life. Now that wasn't made, that was his.
Yes, sir.
Not only could he cause life to exist that was not in existence, but he had a life that had belonged to him from eternity.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Nobody gave him life.
Right. That's right.
He had life. He is life. He was life. In him was life.
Yes.
Now, it was not that his life began when creation began. That's not what that's saying. It was he that called life into being, and all life commenced through him. These guys are sitting in these bathyspheres down on the bottom of the deep trench out in the ocean, and they're saying, oh my, there's something that's never been seen before. God knew it was there.
Yep. That's right.
And isn't it strange, if they put one of them in a jar and bring them up to the surface, they vanish. They can't take it. Light destroys them. Lack of pressure destroys them. They're God's creation. And God is so great in the person of Jesus Christ that he has identified every one of his creation.
Sure.
And knows where they are.
That's right.
Everyone. And all who believe in him. Now this I've been thinking about all week. All who believe have that eternal life that was Christ in the beginning. And are partakers, are part of, and it is part of them, and are partakers of what? The divine nature. Listen to what the Word says. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet, qualified us, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who, here's some more of that past tense, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Do you know, if the devil walked right into this place, he couldn't get in the first place. Because he has delivered us from his power.
Yes, sir.
And hath translated us, past tense. Yes. You're already there. Some people are waiting for a kingdom. You don't have to.
Right. Right.
That's exactly.
The kingdom that you're in now will one day become a worldwide kingdom.
Yes, sir.
Into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom, this Christ, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, how many people in our little congregation this morning believe their sins are forgiven? I'm not asking any show of hands or anything like that. How many really believe that?
That's it.
How often you sit around and, how do you know these things? Because I live there. How often you sit around and condemn yourself? Say, oh, I wish I could. I wish I could do this. I wish I could do that. Well, let me tell you. We're translated into the kingdom of his dear son. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And if he has forgiven us our sins, we ought to forgive one another. But even more so, we ought to forgive ourselves. For there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. None. We ought to forgive ourselves. Now, again, even the forgiveness of sins, speaking of Christ now, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him.
Amen.
And for him.
Yeah. Amen.
The devil's the dog of Jesus Christ.
Sure. Sure.
He is.
Yes, sir.
And all he can do is rattle his chain. Now look, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now look what we've done, or what the Holy Spirit has done. He has passed over all of the intervening years between creation and right then. Passed clear over. God dealt with man in mankind in certain ways in the past, before this time. But now, for the most part, those that he had to deal with in times past were idolaters, filthy, immoral, bestial, miserable characters. And what were not idolaters were zealously holding to the law that was given to Moses, thinking their salvation was in that law.
That's it.
But here not a word is said as yet concerning Moses or idolatry. Just pass right over it. But that the Word was the light that manifested everyone, both Jew and Gentile, as what? Darkness.
That's right.
Darkness. And Paul classifies the unbeliever not as in darkness, but as darkness.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So the true light had entered the world. The true light had entered into the realm, into the kingdom of mankind.
Yes, sir.
Being created in the likeness of sinful men. That's to the glory of Jesus Christ. He thought it not robbery, though he was equal with God. He thought it not a thing to be held on to, but made himself of no reputation. We're not even willing to do that today for each other. Is that too rough? But that's true. The true light. Verse 5 of chapter 1. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now there's a big discussion about that word comprehended. And I have in times past been involved with it, I suppose. They say, well, what comprehend means is that it didn't understand it. Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Still don't.
Exactly.
But the other side says, no, that's not what that means. That means overcome it. Well, that's true too.
Sure.
So what are we fighting for? Both things are true. They could, the darkness could not shut out the light.
Yeah.
Neither could it understand the light.
Exactly.
That's right. That's it.
But I've talked enough. But here are some more words. John 3:19. I'll close with this. And this is the condemnation. That light is come into the world.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Life has come into the world. And men love darkness.
Amen.
Rather than light.
Yeah.
Yes,
don't tell me that that's not true, because I know they would rather make up their own religion with their own standards than even touch a thing of God.
Sure.
Exactly right. Sure.
Oh, yes. Well, I know people, preacher, that they haven't missed a day of church. I know one old codger that's got Sunday school medals that hang clear from his belt almost to his pocket. I don't care.
Exactly.
I don't care. He'd be just as lost could be.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil, and the light of life descended into this world. And his glory shines most vividly in his grace, in that he paid the debt of elect sinners with his own blood without favor from them at all, but with all the favor that God could bestow upon sinful man. And even today, he reaches down. We don't reach, somebody, that old song, you know, I reached up and he reached down. Uh-uh. The sinner isn't reaching anywhere till he reaches down and captures him.
Exactly.
And he reaches down and saves every sinner given to him by the Father. Every sinner that comes to him, every sinner that believes on him, every sinner that believes in him, all by the free favor of God. This Christ, I'm going to turn to something here and just read it. That'll be all. It's 2 Corinthians. You don't have to turn to it. Listen to this. Paul says, we, fifth verse, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, where? In the face of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
What a statement. What a statement. There's more. There's a lot more. Here in listen to these words. For he received honor from the Father, honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him, to him from the excellent glory that is up yonder. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Peter's talking. He was there. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy.
Yeah.
Where thereunto you would do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. That light shined in this world.
Yes, sir.
Shined in darkness. Still is shining. And the darkness did not overcome it. The darkness did not understand it. Listen, a light that shineth in a dark place. How long is the light going to shine?
Yeah.
Until the day dawn.
Yeah, that's right.
Until the day dawn. And the day star arise in your hearts.
Amen.
Until the last of the elect are called out of darkness by the Spirit of God. Till the day star arise in your heart. That touches the edge of the glory of Jesus Christ. Our Father, if we have any ability at all, it's the ability to stumble and to fall. We stand before you this morning asking that you might grant us a growth in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and of that glory which is yet his own, and that we might be conscious of him, trusting him and believing him each and every day of our lives. We think of those who often, if not continually, absent themselves from the gospel assembly. We pray for them that you might undertake, that you might impart to them the desire to be serious and to take heed to the admonitions of the truth of God's eternal favor toward the elect. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.